We've got Gene Bolduc, the host of the Weekend Water Cooler, with us today, and it is time for Thing Not a Thing, the game in which Gene and I take a look at everything that has people upset on social media this week, and we decide whether or not it is a thing or not actually a thing.
So I guess we, you know, after all this buildup, I suppose that we have to. It's too bad we don't have a sad trombone to.
You've got to answer for the Mueller report.
Wah, wah, wah.
I've been saying not a thing for a while on this, but
you know what? We don't know anything about the Mueller report. Mm-hmm. What we have is the Barr memo. That's all we have.
Yeah.
We don't yet have a complete sentence from the Mueller report.
Mm-hmm.
So let's assume that the Attorney General, when he's quoted partial sentences from the Mueller report, if he is strictly telling the truth, I still think there is an awful lot of room left for a lot of very, very damaging and bad things to befall the president and his family.
Yeah. Oh, big time.
Still coming. So I just think, here's what I think happened, just for fun.
Mm-hmm.
I think that when Barr came in to his job, I think that he told Mueller, you have 60 days and you're out.
Mm-hmm.
I want a report within 60 days, and then you're done. And I think that Mueller, you know, had these cases that were he was finishing up. I think that he distributed those cases. He issued the report to the point where he was. And I think that those grand juries continue to do their work. And I think that that's what he got.
Yeah. I think you made the point last week that I think you were the one who made the point last week. I heard it in the last few days. So
yeah.
I think it was you who said it, that whatever comes out or doesn't come out of the Mueller report, a lot of this stuff has been distributed to district attorneys and other jurisdictions, including state jurisdictions. So I'm along with you on that. I don't go for the back room, 60 days and you're out, because I think that if that were the case, then he would have been out already. I think if the Trump administration thought that it was a good idea to fire Mueller, they would have done it. And certainly Trump tried and got pulled back on that, from that brink on several different occasions, mm-hmm. by people who knew what the fallout would be.
That's right. But, you know, doing it this way, in the way that this ease out has happened,
mm-hmm.
doesn't look like a firing. Doesn't look like it's obstructive.
Yeah.
And really, it's not obstructive. He's exercising his prerogative as the Attorney General to say, okay, you know, wrap it up. Wrap up what you're doing.
Yeah.
And since many of these cases have already been with the Southern District of New York and the, mm-hmm. and the D.C. grand jury and in Virginia, there's not much to do except transfer the files.
Right.
And you know, get the report.
And a lot of that work has already been done.
And
right?
a lot of that's already been done. So
the two reasons that I'm going to say not a thing on the Mueller report are, number one, that work is still being done. Three reasons. Number one, that mm-hmm. no one expects the Spanish Mueller report. Number one, that work is already being done. Number two, Stephen Colbert, I think, had the best reaction to it, which was the blackboard with all of the reasons Trump is a terrible president. He erased the Mueller report, leaving another 46.
Leaving 700 things.
And
right.
then the third thing is, and this was what Tom Jensen said yesterday when we talked to him on the air, and it's something that he's been saying for a year and a half now, is this investigation, 2 years now, is this investigation has been going on. People don't generally care about it.
That's
true. In terms of public opinion, people have the opinion that they do about Trump and his presidency, kind of regardless of what does or doesn't come out of this investigation into corruption. There are a lot of reasons opponents of Trump are opposed to him, independent of whether he is impeachably corrupt.
Yeah.
And there are reasons why his supporters support him that they're going to stick with, even if the Mueller report had come out with the most ridiculous findings. So
the
fallout has not been that
significant.
The
Democrats on the campaign trail are not being asked about this. When are we going to get this report? No,
right.
They're not.
Yeah.
They're asking about jobs, health care,
mm-hmm.
healthcare and healthcare.
I think it's important, though, to, like, for transparency's sake, continue to hold Barr's feet to the fire and say, let's get this out. If you're so excited about the findings, let's see them.
Well, right? I am really happy to see this whole process move over into the political arena. And if you're the only person in the world who didn't see Adam Schiff lay out this case right off the top of his head in the Intelligence Committee yesterday, you know, go to YouTube and just look for Adam Schiff, and you're going to find this 2 minutes or so.
Or go on Facebook and start scrolling down, and you'll see it has been shared 15
times. It's been
shared
a million times, right. And for good reason, because he, using only information that's in the public domain, laid out a case for basically saying, you know, this conduct is corrupt.
Mm-hmm.
This process, and you all, you know, the Republicans on his committee who are politicizing the work of the Intelligence Committee, that's corrupt.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good place to put our focus, because that's where our vulnerability still exists, I think.
Thing number two, and this is the thing that has people upset in the last couple of days, because the Mueller report comes out. It's the biggest news of the year until it's not even the biggest news of the week.
Yeah, right.
Betsy DeVos trying to cut the all of the federal funding for the Special Olympics.
You know, what a bunch of nonsense. You know, Betsy DeVos comes in for her routine budget hearing, right, for her department. She's asked, you know, do you even know how many kids this would affect? And she doesn't know.
Right.
And she says, you know, we had to make tough choices and so on and so forth. Well, the president's budget is dead on arrival. Everybody knows it. This is not a Trump thing. This is a common thing that presidents submit a budget. They almost never are enacted as written.
See also North Carolina, because the same thing happens at the state level.
I mean, this is just the nature of this process.
Right.
And so included in her ridiculous budget is that she's going to eliminate all federal funding for Special Olympics, $18 million.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, the federal government should be contributing twice that amount to the Special Olympics, one of the greatest programs to benefit human beings ever. Considering how important and massive it is, it's shocking to me that it's an amount of money that small, but okay. So they're going to eliminate it entirely, and this is all because they have to make hard choices.
And fair point on DeVos's part, because she did say this, and I assume that this is true, because this is kind of – this would not be the sort of information that – If she were not telling the truth about this, this would be kind of the top thing. Federal funding is about 10% of the Special Olympics budget. So 90% comes from other sources. But,
and she gives her salary, a good part of it, to the Special Olympics.
Yeah.
She's a person of great personal wealth and donates her own money to the Special Olympics. So she gets sent up there to put this out that this is a, you know, this is just, they have to make these terrible choices and whatever. There's an enormous uproar. Roy Blunt, senator from Missouri, not exactly a fire-breathing liberal, comes out and says, yeah, we're not cutting the Special Olympics. So everybody just calm down. We're not doing that. And then what happens? Donald Trump comes out like the big man and says, we're not cutting the Special Olympics, and I've directed my
big
people.
Big old golf club.
This was always going to be the case. It is, of course, not up to Donald Trump what gets funded and not. And, you know, then here's Betsy DeVos in the hallway with cameras following her saying, what's your reaction to the president reversing you after you've been reamed for 2 days in Congress defending this position? Mm-hmm. And she makes no comment at all. But, you know, she has the kind of faraway stare that says to me, why am I in this job? Remind me, what am I getting out of this? Her boss sent her out there to do this, to generate a firestorm of controversy for a day or two, to just for the sake of doing it, so that he could come right out and say, no, I've decided to reverse our position on this.
Yeah.
Because I'm the big man and I'm going to do that.
She is in that job because she wants more federal focus on charter schools and private schools.
Well, she would like to get rid of public schools entirely, I'm sure.
Well.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, generally. Yeah.
But certainly, like, diverting more funding to charter schools and private schools, and she still gets to do that. Like, that's why she's there. Everything else is, I mean, everything else is like, okay, here's the analogy. Trying to get Donald Trump to stick to the topic on anything other than immigration.
Right.
He'll immediately divert back to that because every other topic bores him other
right.
than yelling
so
about immigration.
Say, well, you know,
so exactly
schools,
the same thing.
They have a lot of immigrants who are in public schools, you mm-hmm. know, so that's so she gets his support in using that
well,
as
it's,
a cudgel.
I mean, but
to,
like Betsy DeVos yeah. on the Special Olympics, like, of course she has a faraway stare because this is not
she
anywhere near the top of her agenda.
Right, right.
right.
Yeah, but I got to tell you, just on a personal level, having your boss subject you to humiliation like that. I don't know. I don't know if that job's worth it.
I feel her pain on that one. Okay, yeah. So not a thing on Betsy DeVos. I don't feel her pain on most other things, but for that 1 5 seconds.
Yeah, that's just not a human thing to do.
Number three, Pete Buttigieg, third place in a recent public opinion poll.
I mean, holy cow. How great is that?
Yeah.
I like this guy more and more.
Yeah.
I have never seen anything about him that I don't like.
I've got one thing. He was the first one who came out and said maybe we should think about adding more Supreme Court justices. That I don't like. Everything else about him I do.
Okay, well,
I'm fine.
You know,
I want to keep
nobody's
it.
Nobody's perfect.
I don't want to fiddle with
I'm
institutions.
I'm glad to know that he's
but,
dipped his toe into something that's controversial
yeah.
enough that we might actually disagree with
but
him.
But other
about
than
that.
That, like everything that I'm hearing, and this is the thing about the Democratic primary process,
right.
and this is something that people will have a tendency to go too
right.
far in one direction or the other because we've got 15 different candidates that are all running, and there's infighting and bickering. I know this person said this thing,
right.
and therefore
right.
that disqualifies them. And what did this guy do in 1996? I like Pete Buttigieg. I like Joe Biden. I like Bernie Sanders. I like Kamala Harris and Elizabeth Warren
right.
and Amy Klobuchar and Beto O'Rourke and Cory Booker
right.
and all of the candidates that are presenting themselves that are kind of coming forward and being major figures in this Democratic debate. I like them all. There are candidates that I like more than others, but whoever comes out, I'm totally
I'm
fine with.
I'm happily pull
yeah.
the lever.
Yeah.
Right.
But Buttigieg I like, and part of it is identity politics, right? Like, I'm
yes.
a 39-year-old gay man, so
yep.
a 38-year-old gay man running for president, I'm down with that.
You can call him kid.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's even better. Although if someone younger, the moment when someone younger than you is running for president and actually, like, rising in the polls, that's when you know that you've wasted your life, right?
Thank like, you. Thank you for summing it up for me in exactly that way. Well, you know, here's why I know that Pete is going to really do some things because I think 3 weeks ago it would have been 50-50 that anybody would pronounce his name correctly, and
yes.
now everybody does.
Yeah.
Part of it's because you just can get a picture of Buddha and a judge,
yes.
and you can put it together even if the spelling doesn't make any
right.
sense to you.
Buddha judge, boot edge edge, I've also
right.
seen. Yeah,
he's made himself a viral sensation in a bunch of different ways. Yeah. My latest that I enjoyed was that he was doing laundry and heard a shriek from down the hall, and he went in expecting to find his husband lying on the floor bleeding
oh,
to death.
Yeah.
And it turned out that he had just found out his husband was being followed by Lin-Manuel what's
Miranda.
His name? Miranda. Geez.
Yeah. Lin-Manuel Miranda. Meanwhile, all of the Bernie
yeah.
supporters are like, Lin-Manuel Miranda was following Bernie on Twitter back in 1984.
And? Yes, and?
Who's on the water cooler this weekend?
So,
we're going to wrap
so
up.
So this weekend, because we got a little partially preempted last weekend, we're re-airing our program with Quentin Harper.
Nice.
And because he was so nice to come in and record twice, we thought we'd air it twice. And he's always a joy to listen to. And next week, we'll have Penny Rich.
Awesome.
Yes.
Check out the archives of the Weekend Water Cooler at weekendwatercooler.com. I'm not going to say when it's on the air because if the Tar Heels win tonight.
We just don't know.
We'll play on
yeah.
Sunday and we don't know when, but
yeah.
tune in on Sunday for that. Gene Bolduc, thank you so much.
Thank you.